Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 205. It's the week of December, or actually it's the week of Christmas, 2014. I'd like to thank you for coming along. Thanks for coming back to the show. I had a little bit of almost a month off, I think, maybe over a month since the last show. And the main reason is just because I haven't really been doing any training. I'm not training for anything at the moment. I'm kind of in limbo. If you listen to the last show, and I can't remember if I put this in there or not, that was the recap of the Croatan 24, of which I did, I just did half. I did 50 miles or 51, I guess, 0.3 something. A few days after that race, I was at home and I hung up my little toe on a piece of furniture, a piece of iron furniture that we have, that used to be in a walkway. Now it is, not even in the house anymore. I had that removed. And, pretty much almost took my, little toe off of my left foot. I was kind of all bent out to the side, and really, really hurt. And it kind of ruined the whole rest of my time off because I'd taken the whole week off after that race. So I've just been recovering from that. I have done two runs of 4 miles apiece. The first one was December 6th, so I didn't do any running from November 8th through until I did my next 4 miler on December 6th. And then this morning, here it is, today's December 20th, I did a 4 miler this morning. And I want to just talk about those 4 mile runs for a minute. I've always said that the best cure for a hangover is a 6 mile run. 4 mile run is pretty good, pretty close second to that. We had a, when I'm back on December 6th, that Saturday morning, I ran with some of the guys in town, and I went to a retirement party the night before for one of the guys that I work with, and it was a great party, and it was really hard to leave, but we had to leave, and then I got up the next morning, and boy, it was hurting, and you know, from partying, and that 4 miler took care of that, and I felt fine the rest of the day. Same thing happened this morning. Detecting a little bit of a pattern here. Went to a little thing last night at a place called Rosie Connolly's down in Shaco Bottom in the city of Richmond. It's a kind of a police bar, and had a great time, met up with some folks that I know from different localities, and again, it was really hard to leave, but had to go, and actually, that was kind of an early thing, and I got home, we were watching a TV show, and I was kind of nodding off in my chair, and my plan was to get together with Ashley and Brian this morning and go for a 4 miler, and let's just say that too much Guinness definitely will put a hurting on you. But again, this morning got out there, actually got out there by myself because Brian wasn't feeling well and knocked out four with the dog. And the dog hadn't been out running in a while. His name's Blue. And man, it was really cool to just watch him run. And I think I've said this before, there's really nothing quite like watching a dog run at full speed as hard as they want. And where I'm able to go with my dog here in the center of the universe is a place called the Trolley Line Trail, which is an old trolley line that went from Ashland to Richmond. And, of course, it's just a small segment. I would say that the trolley line itself is probably a half-mile trail part, but it's perfect for a dog just to tear it up. He just runs back and forth, and the trail is kind of at the top of a mountain. Well, not a mountain, but a huge embankment at the top and over top of kind of a swamp. So the dog just runs back and forth. And gets all kinds of smells, and it's just fun to watch him run, and I love letting the dog run off the leash. Then I'll pop him back on the leash, and we'll continue through this neighborhood and do it kind of out and back. And I've got a real nice 2 mile out and back from the house, 2 miles out, 2 miles back, that I really, really enjoy, and it gives the dog a lot of time off the leash. Because if I get out early enough, I can kind of cheat a little bit and let him run off. He's pretty good. He doesn't run away. So yeah, I got back out this morning and really did feel good. The toe is healed up. I kind of wanted to let it go for almost a whole month. It's still swollen. I'm pretty sure I broke it, if not dislocated it. And I never went to the doctor on it because it was never bleeding and it didn't get gangrene or anything where I thought it was going to come off. But it was really, really painful, and it was so painful that I had to wear the same pair of shoes for work each day. I usually rotate some leather shoes out. Black, and I have brown shoes and black shoes, and I usually, you know, rotate them each day and wear different clothes with that matches the brown or matches the black. Pretty much had to wear the black shoes all the time because they were wide enough where it wasn't too painful. And I have a pair of Wellington boots that I couldn't wear at all. And it was just finally, you know, the swelling is starting to subside enough where I can get my foot in the shoe. And I know that's probably not really all that interesting, but that was the reason. That's really why I haven't been training for anything and kind of lost a lot of motivation because my foot hurt too much. But the flip side of that, you know, there's a silver lining, right? Was that I was able to give my body a real good, real good time just to recover from the 50 miler, and I kind of enjoyed that. I really have enjoyed coming home from work in the afternoon and being able to hang out with my daughter in lieu of coming home, changing clothes, and going out for the training run a couple, you know, 3 days out of the week. And I feel like I had a lot more time, but instead of doing anything productive, there were days that she had activities after school or whatever, so I was down at the house by myself, and I really didn't feel like going for a walk with the dog, so I would just sit and watch the news on TV. And I guess that's not really a silver lining, because I found myself getting really angry watching what's going on in our country, and this is not a political opinion podcast. It never has been, but every now and then I do inject some opinion in there. And I've gotten some feedback over the years from some folks who have some agreement, have a little disagreement, but I leave the discussion right there. I don't continue a discussion. And the great thing about a podcast is that you can put out your opinion and you can just ignore any counter opinion if you want. You don't have to include that in the podcast. But I just want to talk a minute about this demonstration I saw up in New York City that was on TV, where people were chanting, what do we want, dead cops? When do we want it now? And there was some variation of that, but the main thing that they were chanting was that we wanted dead cops. Now, this is all in response to the Eric Garner and the Michael Brown incidents and other stuff that people are bringing up. Now, if that doesn't make you sick, then I don't know what does. I mean, we live in a free country. Our freedom is protected by our military, but here, locally, your freedom is protected by your police, and the police are the ones that keep things squared away when you leave your house, so you can drive down the street without people standing in the middle of the road blocking traffic, because the police will come along and change that. The police are the ones that protect your freedoms in your community when you're walking down the street, when you're shopping in the store. They're the ones that do that. So for me to hear, you know, what do we want, dead cops? It's just pure ignorance, and you know those people are entitled to protest all they want, but it should just make you sick, and it does. And I wouldn't do anything to stop those people from. They can say whatever they want, but it just makes me sick to think that there are people that I don't think would be satisfied with this whole unrest situation involving police in some of the larger localities until there's a police officer killed. I just think that's what they want, or they want one put in prison for something. And that's going to be the extent of my political commentary on that. It just makes me sick. It really does. And it just makes me sick. All right, let's talk about something that's really positive. Seriously, we have the Ashland Theater here in the center of the universe has finally reopened, and they're playing some Christmas movies. I think the first movie they played a couple weeks, it opened up a couple weeks back. And the reason this is really exciting is because the neon lights are on at night now. And it's a bit of a landmark in town. It's an old theater. It was closed for a long time. But it was donated to the town of Ashland. And then I guess they found money somewhere with some private investment to open it up. And now they're showing movies again. And they're showing some old movies. For example, they showed Sleepless in Seattle. They're going to show Jaws. They're showing Elf, and tonight they're showing Christmas Vacation. And the reason I bring this up is because, not because I'm going to the movie. I mean, I really wish I would. We're going to a Christmas party instead. But I'm going to a tacky sweater party tonight, and I'm going as Cousin Eddie. I've been working on my costume all year. I've got the white shoes I got at Goodwill, where my wife found them. I've got a black dickie. I've got a really tight white sweater, V-neck, and I found green pants. And the only thing I had to do was have them altered, so they're short enough to mimic what Randy Quaid did in the movie Christmas Vacation. I've watched all the videos of Christmas Vacation and analyzed them, trying to get the costume just right, and I think I've got it. The only problem I had was that the sweater I got was not quite thin enough to show the dickie through it, accentuate it, unless I wore a white t-shirt under it. So that's what I'm going to do. So that's the only alteration I'm going to make with the costume, and I don't think anybody's going to notice. I'm a little nervous about wearing a costume or a tacky thing, because that's not really my thing. I'm kind of, conservative and shy like that. But I'm very excited to do that, and what would really be cool is if, people dressed up like that, like Cousin Eddie. He has various outfits, and went to this movie tonight, kind of like people used to do with the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And if you don't know what the Rocky Horror Picture Show is, you got to Google that and find out some of the subculture that came out of that. There was when I was younger, that used to play in the Richmond area, and people would dress up and go to that. I saw it. I went to see it, but I did not dress up. So anyway, that's a pretty exciting thing to have the theater reopen. It's going to the movies I think are $5, so it's not too bad. And the good thing about the theater reopening is that it's going to be used for other stuff as well, not just for movies. And there's a similar theater in area of the of Henrico County, which neighbors us, called it's called Highland Springs, and that's where the Henrico Theater is. And the Henrico County bought that and redid it. We've seen a couple Broadway shows off, pseudo Broadway. We saw South Pacific there. We saw Guys and Dolls. And it's a community theater. They also still have the movie screen there. But that whole place has been renovated and kind of, I don't really know how to describe it, but it's really cool. And they've done stage shows there and they're doing movies. And so I'm kind of hoping the Ashland Theater becomes something like that. We'll bring some more people into town. Not that Ashland needs a whole influx of tourism money, because we're an interstate stop, frankly, off the interstate. Ashland is exit 92 off of I-95, which is the main artery that goes north and south on the East Coast, if you're not from around here. But, once you get several blocks off the interstate, a couple miles off the interstate, that's where the heart of Ashland is. And Ashland was here before the interstate, but, that's where the heart of town is, and that's where this movie theater is. So it's in the downtown area, and I'm pretty excited about it. And I guess if I'm going to support it so much, I need to get off my ass and actually go to a movie and check it out. I did see a movie there many, many years ago. It was kind of when we first moved to the Hanover County area in 98. It was when Walmart was considering building a store here. And it was a movie called Store Wars. And then, the subtitle was When Walmart Comes to Town. And it was a movie about Walmart, obviously, and people were worried that Walmart, big box retailer, was going to come in and close everything down. Well, Walmart came into Ashland, and if you don't know where Walmart is in Ashland, you kind of have to look for it, because it's not really obvious where it is. And everything has still stayed open, some of the smaller stores. So nothing, if anything, I think it's kind of improved things. I'm not against Walmart. They got cheap prices, but they do some marketing, and they do have some business practices that, some people are going to complain about. We can find complaint about everything if we look for it. But for the most part, Walmart's been a good business citizen or business here. And the theater's reopened now, which is going to be playing older movies. My hope is that at some point that theater will play some old Marx Brother movies, or kind of have somewhat of an old film festival kind of thing. We can go in and maybe see a double feature or something, and just spend the afternoon watching movies and eating popcorn. That would be my kind of thing. I remember many years ago, there's kind of an arts theater here it's actually in Richmond. It's called West Hampton area. And my mom took me and my brother there many years ago to a film festival. And I just remember it was a lot of fun just seeing those old black and white movies up on the big screen. It's a lot different than watching them on YouTube or even on a big screen TV. It's just a lot different when you're in the actual theater. So come on into Ashland and check out the movies. I think the website is ashlandtheater.org. Matter of fact, I'll check that right now while I'm online talking about it. And I think it's ashlandtheater.org. No, well, I'm not even on the internet right now. Let's try it again. Some reason I can't even Google it. I'm not really sure why. I'm going to pause this real quick. All right, I'm back. It's ashlandtheaterva.org. And I went to the website, which you can do. And actually, they're having a film festival in March, February and March. They've got, it's just old movies. Yankee Doodle Dandy, 1942 with James Cagney on February 1st. The Searchers, February 15th with John Wayne. To Kill a Mockingbird, which is from 1962 with Gregory Peck, March 1st. And then March 15th is The Sting with Paul Newman and Robert Redford. That's from 1973. And cool. So I'm going to be checking this stuff out. I'll probably report back at some point. And as you can tell, I'm pretty excited to have a movie theater within walking distance of my house. All right, let's talk about running now, or my lack thereof. I do still, you know, still have some events out there that I've been thinking about, and the closest one being the February 14th Dog Run Half Marathon, which I've done the last two years. Brian Klein went up there, ran it with me last year, the year before. I can't remember who, if I went up by myself or what, because I just don't. Yeah, I think I did go up by myself. Can't remember. I'd have to look back. That one's about a 45-minute drive from here, and the reason I like it so much is because it's on the Dahlgren Heritage Trail, which is a Rails to Trails, a park. It's a private park, actually. It's not a government park. And my good friend Neil Richard is a member of the Friends of Dahlgren Heritage Trail, and he's the one that told me about that half marathon, and of course I've been up there ever since. It's great. They have great support. The aid stations, water stops are awesome, and the volunteers are awesome, and it's definitely, they give a shirt that doesn't have a bunch of advertisements on the back, and the packet pickup or race number, it's not really a packet, bib number pickup on race morning is in a caboose, and you just can't quite beat that. I mean, that's just pretty cool. So that's February 14th, and I'm going to try to talk Ash and Brian into doing that. We did it last year. That was kind of his comeback race. That was when I did a really cool podcast called The Student Becomes the Teacher, when I recapped that whole race, and you should go back and check that out at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you want to listen to that again, or if you're a new listener and you hadn't gone back that far. I think that is a pretty good podcast, because Brian actually was one of my first trainers, and then the roles kind of reversed after he got away from running for a little while, and then we started running together because we've been friends for a long time, and I kind of became the encourager and the, you know, student becomes a teacher kind of thing. So that's February 14th. Competes a little bit with a local race here that I've kind of declined to do, and I feel a little bad about declining, because Ashton Bob is doing it, and he was looking for people to do it with, and I presume he's still doing it. I haven't talked to him about it. But it's one of these Valentine's Day or heart races, and I just don't do those with other dudes. And, you know, I think most people can understand that. I mean, I'm not against running with Bob. Don't get me wrong. It's just that I'm not going to run a heart race with another dude. Just, you know what I mean? Anyway, and I've run the dog. I know that sounds really stupid. But, you know, a lot of times the things we do are stupid. But anyway, I've done the dog run race before, and I guess I better check registration on that. So I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to try to talk Ash and Brian into doing that with me. It's February 14th, so we have, oh gosh, we got less than two months to train for that. I personally think I can get up to the half to 10 miles pretty easily, pretty quick. I mean, I did 4 this morning with very little difficulty. Well, no difficulty really. The only reason I didn't go farther was, one, I was back at the house, and two, it was 27 degrees out, and I never really my legs never really quite warmed up, and I should have worn tights or long pants instead of the shorts that I wore, which was a mistake. And I realized that about 10, 15 minutes into my run, but I just thought, oh, I'll warm up, and never quite did. The wind wasn't blowing, it was just really cold. So that's February 14th, and I guess I need to get off my backside and look that one up. I think if I was to register for that, that would inspire me. However, I do not know my on-call schedule for next year. Is that work? Well, I think I could check my email on that. I guess I need to start planning for 2015 a little bit better. The next thing I was interested in was the April 11th Ultra, which is called the Cedar Island 40 Miler. And Amy puts this race on. I don't know her last name. She's one of the aid station captains for the Graveyard 100. I saw her at the Croatan 24. She was participating in that. She's the one that told me about it. It's a point-to-point out on the coast of North Carolina, south of the Outer Banks. And these point-to-point races, and it's a road race. It's got all the elements of what I like. And it's not even as far as 50 miles. All the people I've met down there having to do with that part of eastern North Carolina, I really liked. And I'm really interested in that. And that might be a little bit more realistic for me to get my mileage up. So I'd have to get my mileage, obviously, up to the marathon mark and beyond, probably up to the 50K mark to handle that, which I've done plenty of times before. So that's the Cedar Island 40. I know it has a website because I remember I looked up the race map. And then, of course, volunteering for, not running, is the April 18th Railroad Run, Ashland Railroad Run, which I think is going to be the 38th running of it, 37th. I know I was involved with the 33, 34, and 35. So last year would have been 36, and I was not as involved. I was a volunteer. I can't remember if I've been away from the race for 2 years or for just one. It's funny how the years just kind of... Gosh, man, I'm 45 years old, and all these years just seem to kind of blend together. I'll volunteer again for that. That's April 18th. That is an outstanding event. If you want to come get a real good feel for small town hospitality, make your way to Ashland, Virginia on April 18th for the railroad run. It's a 10K, it's a 5K, it's a kids 1 mile. And you can, if you do the 5K and the 10K, it's called the Center of the Universe Challenge. You get a special prize for that. The key being, you got to finish the 5K before the 10K starts. And that is possible because the way we have the race time set up. That is the brainchild of Tom Grant. I'm going to take a little bit of credit because I was a race director at the time, co-race director. And we were able to accommodate his request to get that event. And I know Dr. Smitty, who's one of the listeners of the show, has done that multiple times. I think Tom actually got some big trophies last time. It was the last time they gave out big trophies for stuff. Well, we got big, I think they were plastic trophies, but they looked like they were metal. Or maybe it was like a big goblet or something. I can't really, a couple of years go by and you kind of forget what was done. However, it's turned into a really cool event, and we've had outstanding weather for like the last 5 years, I think. And that's April 18th, Ashland, Virginia. So, send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you need more information about that or if you're interested in making the trip. It's just a great 10K. It's all three events usually have between 500 and 600 people, so it's a pretty big event. There's vendors out on the lawn, the front lawn of the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, and it's really just it's a great event. I'm really proud of Ashland and what we're able to pull off when things come together for that run. And Tamara Bardwell will be the race director again this year. And I'm not sure if Paul Birch, who was co-race director last year, is gonna repeat or not. So let's see if you checked in with the listener email this week. And if you want to reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com, you certainly can. I'd like to listen to any running commentary, what you think about the show or where you're from or how long you've been listening. I've got people that have been listening to this show since the very beginning, and I feel like they're my friends. So send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you want to chime in with your thoughts on the show. So let's check the email bag section of the show. Steve checked in this week. All right, heard from Steve Buani, who I've gotten to know here in Ashland, but I think he's actually moved out of Ashland into Henrico. We've become friends, and he sent me an email saying up for a 50K in Philly, and he found a story on the internet about all the scenes from the original Rocky movie, from where he started running through each scene to where he ended up, and somebody went out and measured that, and turned out it was 30.61 total miles, which is almost a 50K, and he said, no wonder he won the rematch against Apollo. So I thought that was pretty funny. I also think it's interesting that somebody took the time to actually go out and measure that whole distance. That's very interesting. Thanks for the input, Steve. Really thought that was pretty funny. Heard from Dr. Smitty as usual, and we talked a little bit about Mountain Dew, the race reporter of the Croatan 24. He said, Dave, you should have known how good Mountain Dew is during a race. I always drink it before and during if it is available. I drink Coder Mountain Dew at every aid station at the Western States. And he's tapering for the 50K, which that was back on November 30th. So I think he's doing, it's called the Seashore Nature Trail 50K. I forgot about that. In fact, that's probably already taken place, probably today. Gosh, I got a little, as I said earlier, I really kind of dropped out there for a little while. Greg's the one that eats honey buns and drinks Mountain Dew before races just to get an edge. And he's the one dentist out of five that doesn't recommend Trident for his patients who chew gum. He's a true dentist. We were talking about there's an event, in April, that he's going to be doing, and I'm going to be following up with that railroad run. I think he's going to be up for that. So, Greg, it'd definitely be good to see you. Hopefully you did well with Seashore Nature Trail. I'll send you an email, check into that. Heard from Jim B. out of Burlington, North Carolina. Congratulations on your run. Enjoyed listening to the recap. He said he knew I had it when I talked about doing the back-to-back long runs in the earlier podcast. Jim, thanks for the email. Appreciate you listening to the show. He hails out of Burlington, North Carolina. If you don't know what he's talking about, the back-to-back long runs are the long run on Saturday, long run on Sunday, a sandwich by the rest days on either side. And generally what you're looking for is like a 25 and a 15 or a 20 and a 10, something like that. So you're running the second day on tired legs. And yeah, you're probably doing quite a bit of damage to the muscle fibers in your legs, but the idea is for that to recover and to build back. And not to mention the huge mental lift that you get knowing that you have done 30 miles or done 40 miles in 2 days. That's a huge lift and a huge confidence builder, and that really helped me. And so, Jim, I appreciate you recognizing that. Heard from Glenn in the UK. He's checking in, saying, well done on the 50-mile run. He said you sounded really in control during the run. How far do you think you could go? Is 100 possible? I'm getting my mojo back for running, trying to shed a few pounds and enjoy myself. And I 100 miles is a totally different beast. But then again, Glenn, you know, like I said in my email to you, when I ran my first marathon covering 50 miles, never even entered my mind. And here I am, you know, I've done multiple 50s and really like it. I'm wondering if I could even handle it physically. Mentally, maybe I'm giving myself too much credit, but I think mentally I can take the repetition. Physically is what worries me, is that I'm not sure if my feet will hold up. And I don't really know, you know, what to do about that. And I'm not into it for getting hurt or for the sadist part of it. I'm not, you know, well, it's got to hurt for it to be worth something. I'm not talking about actually injuring myself with, you know, what I did to my feet back in, I guess it was 2010 at the North Face Endurance Challenge in Northern Virginia. I will never do that again. That's when the bottoms of my feet macerated. I was out of work for two weeks. I've got pictures to show anybody who's interested in knowing what that looked like. If you haven't been listening long and hear me talk about this over and over and again, there's just no way I can do that to myself or to my family. So I would maybe go for 100K again to see what, I don't know. I'm thinking out loud. And Glenn, you definitely planted a seed though, so watch out. I might be thinking about that again. I heard from Tim Warden out of Tennessee, I think is where you're from, man. Remember, it's been a while since we've been in touch. He says, congratulations on the 24. Been enjoying your podcasts. He's headed to South Carolina. He did a 50K in South Carolina called the Mad Marsh 50K on November 22nd. And then he's heading to Spartansburg for the One Epic Run 24 in December, first weekend of December. So that's already passed. And Tim does something that's a lot different than he's the only person I know that does this. And he does endurance horseback riding. And he's a farrier. He does horseshoes, horseshoeing horses. I guess that's called a farrier, I think. I think that's really interesting. So he does these huge, long endurance runs on his horse, which is really how the Western States 100 started. So And then, of course, that kind of evolved into a foot race. But, you know, Tim, it was really nice to hear from you. And check in with me when you get a chance. Let me know how those events went. And if you send me kind of a race report, I'll summarize it on the show. I really would like to hear that. It was really nice to hear from you. Heard from Thomas Mueller, who's a regular listener to the show, and I really do appreciate that. He said that he sent me a link to Serial, which I think is a TV show, and I did check the it was actually an article about podcast advertising ready to break into mainstream, our podcast poised to break into mainstream advertising mainstream. And I've talked about this before. I don't do any advertising on the show except for maybe, you know, jokes from time to time about products that have worked for me. And I would love it if somebody would advertise on my podcast and, you know, I got money from that. That'd be really cool. And at the same time, if it didn't subject people to, you know, stupid ads, part of me kind of takes pride in the fact that this is just a hobby and I don't get anything from it. But then on the other part of me says, well, you know, I probably would get more shows out on a regular basis and come up with more material to share with listeners if I had a little bit more of an incentive rather than just recounting my running experiences. I don't know. It's a balance. I know it sounds a little bit selfish. However, Tom always gives a good perspective. He says he likes your great show stories and comments. And he says there's a podcast called Endurance Planet. He said most of promote Amazon and other links that promote potential commissions from people when people order through their link. I guess I'd have to check to see if that's okay to do on podbean.com. I'm not really sure. And Tom had a good idea how to get an immediate audience to get more listeners to the show and believe in when you join LinkedIn and then join in the communities like running and fitness. Which I didn't even know that they had that on there because I was kind of ignorant to that. So, Tom, I'm actually going to save your email, believe it or not, and look into that a little bit further. I really do appreciate hearing from you. Heard from Dirt Dog over at the Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe podcast, Mike Croy. I always liked listening to him. And he said, Ash and Dave, listen to your new 50-mile on this morning's soggy, meandering miles. Couple of thoughts. You gambled successfully and won. Tried something new on race day. Try something new on race day, Mountain Dew with no effects during the run worked out well. Myself, I'm a Coke guy. 100 miles is definitely within your grasp now. 3, it's all about mindset. You either have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. And he showed me a book called Mindset Psychology of Success that he shared with his teaching staff. And then 4, if your wife is running the Richmond Half, I certainly think that she is worthy of some podcast time. Well, let me comment. Yeah, all good, Mike. Let me comment on a couple of these. 2, 100 miler is definitely within your grasp now. So I've got multiple people telling me that. And, yeah, it's been in my thoughts. And I don't really know what would happen if I tried it. I guess the fear of failure is the first thing on the mind. Second would be, I don't want to just do it for the sake of doing. I kind of want to do it to maybe mark a milestone in my life. But turning 50 is too far away for me to plan that out. So I don't know yet. And then the mindset. I really thought that was an interesting perspective. You either have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. And I'm going to explore that a little bit personally. I appreciate you bringing that up. Yes, my wife did run the Richmond Half Marathon. I was a spectator. It was cold as shit that day. And I also had some other relatives come into town who one ran the full, one ran the half to my cousin's kids. We had a great party, the marathon party after that. I should have gotten her on the show when she was still on the runner's high. I'm going to keep your email too, Mike, because I want to look up that book. Appreciate you bringing that up. Sorry it took me so long to get to it. Heard from Tim out of Signal Mountain, Tennessee, and he has got an audio clip, so let's listen to that.
Hey, Dave, congratulations on meeting your goals for the Croatan timed race. Sounds like you did really well there and had some really good accompaniment on the run to get you through the hard spots. Hey, one of the things I want to know, though, is it sounds like your feet made it real well through there. You only had a couple comments about a few blisters. What'd you do different this time I'm thinking about doing a long race like that and don't want to have the agonies that you've expressed on previous runs, or really long runs. So it sounds like your training and your preps went real well, so you really didn't have any significant aches and pains and problems with your feet. So give us the insights on what you did differently this time. But again, congratulations on the PB there. Have a good week. Bye.
Well, thanks for the audio clip, Tim. That was pretty cool how you did that. He just sent me the audio clip. I played it, and I just recorded it through GarageBand through the speakers. There's another way to send me an audio clip, and that's to go to ashanddave.podbean.com and look all the way over to the right side of the screen. And what you'll see is I'll click over here and tell you what it is. It says scroll all the way down, or just go all the way over to the right. It says send a voicemail. You click on that, and then you can record it right there on your screen, and it gets put up in a little file, and I get it in my email. Tim, the thing I did differently, I changed my socks a whole lot. I kept my feet as dry as possible. I had the Olympus, Ultra Olympus shoes, which a lot of cushioning, with the large toe box. And I changed my socks several times during the course of the 11 hours and 40 minutes, I think four times. And I powdered them each time. And it took some time to do that, but that's how I survived it. And that was the difference. And of course I greased between my toes quite a bit. Steiner had sent me some powder that I used some, but I also used some baby powder. So it was a combination of different things. And yeah, I was blistered afterwards, but I could still walk. I wasn't injured to the point where, I worried about having a skin graft or something. But yeah, that was the main difference. And of course, it being a trail with no hills makes the foot not move around that much in the shoe. And so I guess that's the kind of stuff that I look for. It was a coastal forest, which was mostly flat. And so those kind of events attract me because it doesn't create the friction in the shoe that causes the injury. So that was really the main thing there. And appreciate you checking in. I've always nice to hear from you, and I like how you use the audio clips. Mechanical Dave checked in. He did not run Richmond this year. He had a lower leg injury, which killed his plans to run the full marathon. And Dave, I sent you the we do a big group run in Ashland the morning of Christmas Eve at 9 o'clock, called the Frozen Toes and Noses, 5K or whatever, and then we all go up to this coffee shop. And David, I forwarded that to you, so hopefully you can make that. It'd be good to see you. Appreciate you checking in. I heard from David Down Under. Dave said he loved the 50-mile podcast. He says he sounds like I was on target the whole run, which deserves great credit. He said, you did mention your walk-run strategy. Did you stick to the same ratio in training? Did you change it at all during the race at all? Sorry to hear about your pinky toe. Yeah, what it was there, Dave, was I did I ran a mile, then walked a tenth of a mile. I did that for like the first 2 to 3 hours. Then I changed it to running an eighth of a mile, walking as 2/10 of a mile. Then after the marathon mark, which was remarkably unremarkable in an ultra. when you pass the marathon mark in an ultra, it's remarkably unremarkable. Anyway, I changed that to a run 0.3, walk 0.2, repeat. Run 0.3, walk 0.2, and repeat. And I did that in lieu of running 6/10, walking 4/10. I kept the walking, limited to just a few minutes. And when I walk pretty quickly. I don't lollygag. And I think doing the intervals really made the time go fast. It was really weird how that worked. And I would definitely recommend that to anybody that's considering that kind of a walk-run strategy. You'll find what works for you. I change mine around all the time. It's really never that consistent, and sometimes it changes on race day. But I'm convinced that the walk-run strategy saves my knees to the point where I don't have to ice them. And I used to have to do that, and the sport that I like so much was becoming miserable. But now it's fun. I really like it. And it was that was just a great, great, great event. I had so much fun with that. I heard from Sandy. She big congrats on the race. Proud of you. Sounds like we had a great time. And she says that she's having some hip flexor problems. This was back in late November. She's only done a couple runs. Very involved with her border collie, so she's running a lot and walking the dog. And I had asked her if she'd done a race report from her 200-mile effort, and she did, and it's at the ultrafreak.blogspot.com, which I'm going to link to on my show at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And so if you're interested in her effort, I thought it was really cool. She's also a proponent of me trying a 100-miler someday. She's going to do the C&O Canal 100-miler in Maryland in April. She said she'll let me know how it is. And she says it's what a lot of people like to call, quote, an easy 100, if there is such a thing. She says the hardest part of it all, as you know, is getting all that training in. And, yeah, it's a lot of time away from family. It takes up a lot of free time. But what a great accomplishment when you get there. And so, Sandy, I'm going to link to your blog, and I really do appreciate that. And last but not least, heard again from Down Under Dave, wishing me a wonderful Christmas, and hopefully that 2015 is good to me in all respects. And I think I'm going to end it there. I would like to extend the same sentiments to everybody that listens to this show around the world. And my message is a message of peace. And I hope that Christmas is magical to you and your family, as I hope it is for mine. Merry Christmas. See you in 2015. Thank you.